Yay, we get to get in the Word. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Deuteronomy chapter 28. As we continue on the book of Deuteronomy, we will not finish Deuteronomy tonight, but we might finish it next week. We'll see. There is so much stuff to cover tonight. What a great chapter, and chapter 28 is, and just amazing stuff, amazing blessings, warnings of cursings, which is not the fun part, but the blessings is the fun part. The cool thing is we can avoid the cursings if we simply obey the first part. But let's pray and ask God to bless our time together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. And Lord, as we gather together, we do want to lift up those, even as we've been praying for those in Las Vegas, we want to lift up those now in California that are experiencing these horrible wildfires. They're in Napa and that whole region. And Lord, I thank you for taking care of Greg's mom, that she's okay, that her house did not get burned, and that she's in an okay area. We pray you continue to protect all the rest of those neighborhoods. But Lord, we do have a vested interest there with Greg's mom, and pray you protect her and that neighborhood. Our heart, Lord, grieves for those that have lost their homes. No telling how many, Lord, we're going to find that have lost their lives. I know they don't even know that number yet. But with that many homes and that many people missing, there's no doubt going to be more casualties. And so, God, I pray in the midst of the grieving and the sorrow and the seriousness of that situation, God, use it for your glory. Truly, God, this is an opportunity where literally beauty can be made from ashes. And that's what you say you'll do, and we ask you to do it. Lord, there's going to be more and more of these type of situations as we head into the last days before your return. And while we walk in joy, the joy of the Lord, we also, Lord, walk in the sorrow of heart for those that are so devastated. And we pray that we would be those that can comfort them and love them and point them to you. And so, God, I just pray again your mercy. Use this to magnify your name and, Lord, your church there in that region. Use them to rise up and be a light to reach those that have no hope with your hope. And, Father, I pray now that as we get into your word, God, you would open up your word to us and you would just feed us. We are ready to hear from you, Lord. We don't need to hear from Mark or anyone else. We need to hear from you. And so we pray you would teach us now. We look forward to what you're going to say to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's interesting. It's kind of a strange, maybe dichotomy is the word I want for a believer, in that at the same time, I feel this great joy in my spirit tonight. And sometimes, you know, we don't go on feelings, but sometimes we feel the joy of the Lord more than others. And we do have emotions. God's given us that. And I have this real sense of joy and just happiness tonight. At the same time, you see the devastation all around. It's amazing. There can be so much devastation, and yet God gives his people joy. And in the midst of it, we have compassion for those that are in devastation. As it happens oftentimes to many of us in different seasons of our life. And so as believers, we're going to be seeing more and more of this. We're going to be seeing more and more devastating things happening on our planet. The Bible tells us that. Jesus told us that. And why did he tell us? He wanted us to be ready for it and to be aware of it. We will still have joy as believers, and God will give us the joy of the Lord. But we need to, again, be praying for that compassion and that mercy, and again, using all these opportunities. You know, people are going to ask you, wow, you know, what's going on? You know, I realized how much people are wanting to, you know, to know what's going on. We did that teaching a while back, what in the world is going on? And we've had more people view that particular teaching than in the history of the church. And I know why. It's because people want to know. They see a title like that. I don't think it's because they saw that it was me. They don't know me. I don't think it's because they saw it was Calvary Chapel. I think it's because they see a title of anybody sharing what in the world is going on, and they want to find out. So we have a real opportunity as believers to take these situations when people say, man, can you believe what's going on in the world? You can answer, I do believe it, yeah. What do you mean you believe it? I didn't say I like it, but I believe it. Why? Well, here's what Jesus said. The Bible tells us these things. There's going to be, listen, fires are going to be so bad on the earth that the majority of all greenery and trees are going to be destroyed before it's done. Jesus tells us that. The oceans are going to be polluted. Now, this is not good news. You know, saying, thanks, Mark, really encouraged and appreciate good news Wednesday. This is nice. This happens during the Great Tribulation. So the more devastating things I'm talking about will happen after we're taken out of here in the rapture of the church. But we have answers. This is the warm-up for what's coming. We know what's coming down the road. And people are going to be having more and more questions. They're going to be saying, somebody tell me what's happening. Okay, if that's what's happening, what do I need to do? And we love them. And we tell them, here's what Jesus did for you. There's nothing you need to do but believe him and receive him. Become part of the family. He's going to come straighten the whole mess out. You see, we can talk about the devastation that is coming upon the earth. But the good news is the Lord's going to restore it all when he comes back. The argument today is, are we ruining the environment? Look, I don't know how much man has to do with anything or not. I'm not going to get into the political argument, at least not at this point. But I will say this, the Bible does say the environment and the climate is going to go nutso. The Bible says that. You're going to see polluting in the air, polluting of the oceans. You're going to see all these things happening, but God said it was going to happen. It is God that's going to be turning up the heat on the earth, the Bible says, not really mankind, so I guess I won't make that comment. God is the one that's going to be doing it because he's trying to drive mankind to himself. And the world often sees that as, how could a God of love, my thing is this, thank you that there is a God of love that'll do what it takes to get our attention. How many of you guys had to have the heat turned up on you before you looked up? I did. Hey, by the way, today, 29 years ago today, I wrecked my truck, got thrown in jail, and it was the beginning of my journey with Christ. Isn't that pretty cool? Now, that sounds crazy to say that was cool. Now, it occurred to me, today's the 11th, that's when it happened. The reason I'm saying that is not to celebrate Mark. No, this is not what that's about. My point is, what the world would say is one of the most devastating times. You got busted for DUI, you were thrown in jail, you'd go spend time on the weekends in jail, do whatever, this kind of thing. I wouldn't trade it for the world. It was wonderful. It turned my life around. It is what got my attention. God allowing the heat to turn up, God allowing tragedy in my life, God allowing everything to fall apart is what turned my eyes to heaven. And that's why when we see these kind of things that happen in Las Vegas and California, we grieve and we have to be there in compassion and praying for them and showing a heart. But at the same time, realizing God can use these type of events to be something that drives people to the Lord when nothing else would work. And when you look at what's going to happen in the final days, the great tribulation and all the judgments that are coming upon the earth on the grass and the trees and the oceans and the rivers and the atmosphere being polluted, which God himself is going to do, not man. God says, I'm going to pollute the earth. But why is God doing it? Just get ready, because if you're not a believer, you're going to think I'm nuts. If you're a young believer, you'll think, well, I'm not quite nuts, but you'll be wondering about it. It's the love of God. It's the love of God. How is that the love of God? Here's how it's the love of God. If that's the only thing that will get the world's attention when they have rejected Jesus Christ and the church has already been removed and everybody else here is saying, we don't want Jesus, that is an act of love in one last desperate attempt to say, I love you enough to make your life miserable. Won't you look up? I want you to join us at the table in the kingdom. And so that act of love of God, of breaking mankind and getting them to look up, it's worth every bit of it. And that's why a lot of times if you have family members or parents, you have wayward kids, and they get in some kind of real bad trouble or whatever, I'm not saying rejoice in that, but kind of. You don't feel like rejoicing as a parent, your heart breaks. But what you realize is God is now allowing their lives to collapse where they'll be in a place where they'll get their attention on God, and now there can be a real change in their life. None of us rejoice at those kind of tragedies. But as believers, we see beyond it. And we see the ultimate goal, you know. Job didn't see what was going on. Well, how could this be anything blessed of the Lord? God was doing something amazing in Job, and Job's life is still being used to witness to us today. So I didn't plan on talking about that long, but at the same time, we are going to have golden opportunities, guys, from this point on to share Christ more than ever, because it's not going to get better. It's not going to get better. It's going to get better for believers, but the world's going to continue to go down this path of getting worse. You're going to see more and more disease. More and more issues, more storms, more earthquakes, more this and that. And that sounds like gloom and doom, but trust me, it is God's love for a world that has turned their back on him, because he knows they won't look at me any other way. And God loves us enough to do what it takes. And any good parent will do the same thing for their kids. I'm not saying you won't send earthquakes and volcanoes and stuff like that, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, all right. Let's get into it. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Where are we? Remember, Moses is giving this last message to the children of Israel before he goes to be with the Lord in heaven. And he's reminding them of everything their parents have been taught in the wilderness and everything they've learned, and they're about to go into the nation. It's the raising up of the next generation, teaching them the things of God, going through these multiple sermons that he's doing. And now he begins to talk about the blessings of obedience and the curses of disobedience in chapter 28. What would you say if God showed up to our nation right now and all of a sudden he took over the White House and God came on the air and he said, I will make you the most privileged nation in the world if you will just obey me. I will make you higher than all the other nations. I will make you greater than all of the peoples on the planet of the earth, and I'll do it for any nation that will honor me, any nation. I don't care who it is. If they honor me first, I will raise them up and do that for them. What nation would turn that down? Now, in the past, I would say no nation would turn that down. Anymore, you know what? Much of America would turn that down today. And that's really freaky to me. Mark, what do you mean? Here's what I'm saying. If you say today that if you serve God, that God will raise you up as a privileged nation above all the other nations, many people will cry foul today and say, that's not fair. We all need to be equal. Now, understand, God makes that promise to nations that honor him. And everybody, not just a certain group of people in that nation, the whole nation will be a privileged people. The whole nation will be raised up above other nations. And that is God's blessing and God's design. But why would a world exist today where God could make that offer and somebody would say, well, that's not fair. No one should be privileged over anyone else and we all should be equal. How do we get to a place of that mindset when God says it's a good thing to honor him and be raised up? You know how? Because in the last days, the Bible says that the whole world will be working toward equality, all walls broken down, everyone in this one world government, one world system, one world everything. It's exactly what the Bible says will happen in the last days, and that's going to increase as well. You're going to see the world saying, you know what? No walls. Down with Donald Trump. Down with the walls. All walls should be broken down. Every nation needs to blend together. There should be no, everybody's just one, and all governments eventually are going to link together. And there's going to be a one world government, the Bible says, all linking together. There's going to be a one world religion linking together. When the church is taken out of here, there's going to be a one world religion that's going to be predominant. And so they're going to, this is where we're headed. So I understand the mindset from a biblical aspect. If it wasn't for the biblical aspect, it wouldn't make sense to me that people would not want to be a special people, a raised up people. I would say, you know what? If God makes the offer, hello world, I'm making you an offer, world. Yes, we hear you, God. Any nation, I don't care who you are, not just America, any nation. If you will put me first, I will raise you up above all the peoples on the earth.
Really?
Yes. Where do I sign up? See, that you think that would be the natural attitude. But you're going to find as we get more and more toward the last days, it'll be the exact opposite. That's not fair. That's showing privilege. That's making others greater than. Listen, God says my people are going to be a special people, whoever they are, because they're my family. Here's the good news. Everyone's invited into my family. And all of you can be privileged. All of you can be special. Every one of you. And my invitation is there. But you have to raise me up and honor me. And this is where God now is going to tell the children of Israel they can do this. And again, we're going to see that historically, God did raise them up at one time as the greatest nation on the earth. But because they rebelled against God, they went over to verse 15 and on and started getting the curses. Now, verses 1 through 14, this is where we want to live. And by the way, this is where America was established. You won't hear that in the schools today because they're changing history. But our forefathers, with all their flaws, with all their sins, with all their shortcomings, they honored God. And they put God first. And they said, we're going to build a nation based on the word of God, and we're going to honor God because God said, if we do that, here's what God said, I'll make you the greatest nation on the planet. What happened to America? They became the greatest nation on the planet. The most powerful military, the greatest economy. Did you realize in my lifetime, we were debt-free and we only loaned to other nations. We never borrowed in my lifetime. Now we have the greatest debt of any nation in the world at $20 trillion. What happened? We said, we don't want you anymore, God. We want you out of our government. We want you out of our schools. We want you out of everything. Now, not everybody said that. I'm just speaking in general terms here. God says, if you do that, I will allow you to deflate and go back down to just like all the other nations of the world. As a matter of fact, if you keep doing it, I'll bring you lower than the other nations. Why? Why would you bring us lower than the other nations of the world when they're doing the same thing? Because you know better, America. You see, with greater knowledge comes greater accountability. And when God dealt with the children of Israel, he said, I gave you the word. I showed you visions. I appeared in power. If you turn from me, you're going to go lower than the other nations who don't know those things. And God brought them down and scattered them around the world until they were gone. Just recently brought them back in their land in 1948 to fulfill his word. Now what's happening to America? He says, you honored me. I'll raise you. Listen, the blessings we have today, guys, it's our forefathers. Our forefathers is why we're blessed right now. But as we're now in this generation turning away from God, what's happening? God says, you know what? You're not honoring me anymore. I'm going to back away. You're going to become like all the other nations. You won't be a special people anymore. You're not going to be set apart. As a matter of fact, because you have Bibles in every home and because you know the truth and you're turning away from it, you're going to go lower than the other nations. I'm not even going to make you like the other nations. You're going to go in greater debt. You're going to have greater issues, greater problems. Why? because of greater accountability. And this is where we get into it. Notice what happens and see if this has not been really the tale of America. Look at verse 1. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently, I have that underlined. He's saying this is something you got to give attention to. Speaking to the nation now. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully, notice diligently and carefully, so there's effort here on our part, all his commandments, which I command you today. Note this, here's the promise that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Now you say, well, he's talking to Israel. Yes, but he says in the Psalms, any nation that does this, any nation that exalts the Lord, God says, I will exalt that nation. So is this a promise to Israel? Yes, I'm not taking away from that. But is it also a promise to America or any nation that honors God first? Absolutely. Because God said, any nation that does that, it is a principle. I will raise you up above the other nations. And if you see multiple nations honoring God, they'll be the ones that'll be leading the world and everybody else will be lower. That's just how it is. God does this. It's a God thing. He says, I'll raise you up. And he's done that for us. And all these blessings shall come upon you. And I love this because look at this. They'll not only come upon you that he's about to mention, they will overtake you. Now, let me give you a picture of what this word means in the language. You ever chase somebody down and tackle them? Now, you probably didn't do that as girls. Guys, I mean, football, or maybe a dad with a kid, you're running, they're laughing, you're playing, you chase them, you grab them and pick them up and keep running, right? You know how a parent does, and the kid's running, oh, and they're laughing, and you're laughing, and you go, whoa, and you catch them, whatever. That's what that word means. He says, here's what'll happen. If you honor me first, you can't get away from the blessing. I'm faster than you. You can run. Don't bless me anymore. Ah! You're going to be blessed. Come here, ice cream time, you know, right? That's what the word means. He says, if you do that for me, America, I will chase you down, pick you up, and bless you above everyone else, and you can't get away from it. Who would say we don't want that? It blows my mind. And yet now we say, no, we don't want that. Get that out of our school. When you understand and when you know God, that blows your mind. But when you don't know the Lord, I get it. They don't see it. But when the promises are so wonderful, I will overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now here's the blessings. Look at this. Blessed shall you be in the city. There'll be low crime rates. It'll be blessed. Blessed shall you be in the country. Same thing. You're going to, all these blessings, you know, that are going to come in the country. Blessed shall you be in the fruit of your body. You'll be fruitful in children. You'll multiply. And have children. The produce of your ground and the increase of your herds, your farms will do great. Your flocks will flourish. The increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks, blessed shall you be in your basket and your kneading bowl. So in all your food and the work you do for just the food that you eat, your food will be blessed. It will be rich. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. Now, this is interesting to me because I look back, even as a kid, I see the difference in the blessings on America and where we were then and where we are now. And I don't know if any of you have noticed this, if you're 50 or above. Do you see a lowering of the giftings of talent level and the kind of stuff we have in America now? Do you remember back in the early days of America, there were these amazing people, these amazing discoveries, these amazing things. You look at Alexander Graham Bell. You look at the Wright brothers. You look at all the talent from Hollywood, you know, back when it was first starting, and the gifted people that you just can't seem to find people anymore, like a Frank Sinatra, you know, and I'm not a big Sinatra fan. I'm just making a point. These really super gifted people and these people that are gifted and very talented, and they're few and far between now. When a nation is honoring God, God blesses the people of that nation. And you see them rise up with gifts and abilities and discoveries and inventions. But as people turn away, what happens? It begins to die down just like everyone else in the world. God is the God of creation. And when people walk close to a God of creation, they become creative. Now mostly what you see is recreating stuff from the old stuff. It's the remake of the old movie. Or if the number two movie is done because the first one did good, it's kind of a copy of everything they did in the first one. There's not the originality that used to be there. Listen, there's a direct link in the blessing of every avenue of a nation and their relationship to God. It just holds true. He says, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. So you'll not only have a great army, you'll defeat, you'll win all your battles. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven. So they'll be afraid of you. The Lord will command the blessing on your storehouses and in all which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. Do you know our Congress used to pay for missionaries to go around the world? Our Congress in Washington used to send missionaries for Jesus, not anybody, Jesus, around the world. They used to pay to have Bibles printed so they could be sent around the world. Can you imagine today? I'd like to introduce a new bill. How would that be? How do you think that'd be received? Look how far we've fallen. It's happened very rapidly. But the new generation now, they don't even know. They don't know what it used to be like. It's sad to me that my girls will never experience the America I got to live in. Now, we're still very blessed, are we not? Because it's not like it used to be. And this is not one of those, yeah, it's better in the old days speeches. It isn't one of those. It truly is, we're losing as a nation the blessings of the Lord. So there's a direct reason. God says, I'm telling you right here in the word, why? Notice he says this. The Lord will establish you, verse 9, as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Notice what will be the result if you do this. Not only all the blessings, but look at verse 10. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. That's a good thing. Not a fear like you're going to hurt them, but they're not going to try anything against you because they know that you can overpower them. Listen, guys, back when I was a kid, North Korea, Iran, nobody would have ever said, we're coming after you, America. They would have never said that. Because they realized they probably would be an oil spot somewhere. And I'm not saying that like we should go and wipe people out. This is not a pro-war statement or that we just because we can, we should. My point is, they feared us. The fear of America is disappearing. Now, it's still there to some degree. But there's not the fear there used to be. I mean, there was this, people recognized. Why do you think America's the one that suddenly came up with the A-bomb? Why is America the one that got the power to overwhelm all the nations and stop the war? You think we're smarter? You think we're better? We're not. People are the same around the globe. God stepped in and intervened and said, I've got to stop this carnage on the earth in this world war. And that means there'll have to be some people that'll die, but I'm going to give somebody an ability to have a weapon that's so powerful it'll put the fear in everyone's heart around the world and the war will stop. I'm going to choose America to do it in because they're the ones that I've raised up because they've honored me. Guys, this is how it works. God just is faithful to the nations that are faithful to him. You'll see him be faithful to Israel. Even though Israel's not honoring God right now, you see God's hand of protection because God said in the last days, when I bring them back in the land, I'm going to protect them. The Lord God will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure of the heavens, to give rain on your land in its season, to bless all the work of your hand. Look at this. I've got this underlined again, how sad this is, but how wonderful. Sad because of where we are. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. That used to be America. Until my generation. That's when it happened. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. That was America. You shall be above only and not be beneath. Again, Israel and America. And again, the promises to any nation. Notice again, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and you're careful to observe them, you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right hand or the left to go after other gods to serve them. Now, he shifts gears into the curses here in the last part of chapter 28. And why are the curses so strong on this nation that did all these things, but now they'll experience these things? Again, accountability. Remember, to whom much is given, much is required. And that's why God says, if you turn from me, it's going to be way worse. Look at verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now again, he's speaking in context to Israel. They had seen God's power. They knew of God's power. They have greater accountability. We have seen God's power. We have greater accountability. He says, if you don't do this, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that these curses will come upon you and overtake you. So even as he ran us down with blessings, the Bible says we won't be able to outrun the curses. So it's just as ominous on this part of the chapter as it was wonderful on the other side. Notice what he says, cursed shall you be in the city. Look at our cities today. Look at our cities. We have cities in America going bankrupt. Detroit just declared bankruptcy. They're saying other cities are about to do that. I don't know which ones or how many. Look at the crime in our cities. The crime, it's out of control in so many places. And cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall you be in your basket and your kneading bowl. That is your food supplies. Cursed shall you be in the fruit of your body and the produce of your land. It's interesting to see the droughts that have been going on in America for the last, 15 years. Some of the worst droughts we've ever had in the Midwest. The increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks, they'll be cursed as well, in other words. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. You just can't seem to be blessed. The Lord will send on you cursing. Notice this, the Lord will send cursing. Why? It's not just, it isn't because he hated them, or that he hates America, or that he hates any nation. It is God saying, I told you, I blessed you, I warned you, and now you've chosen to go the other way, and chastisement now comes in. Notice what he says, he'll send cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. Now, I'm not saying that means America is going to go under anytime soon. God is gracious. And I look at the Canaanites. God gave the Canaanites 400 years to repent. Now, they didn't have the Word of God. They didn't understand the Word of God. They didn't know God. So I don't think God will give America that long. Because the more you know, the quicker the judgment comes. But I'm simply saying God is a gracious God, but there does come a point where God says enough is enough. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you're going to possess. By the way, did you hear that there's a new plague? There's the bubonic and then the pneumonic. There's a pneumonic plague now that's spreading, not in America, but in, I forget where it is, I think somewhere in Africa. Pneumonic means it's spread by coughing. And so you're going to see more and more of that kind of stuff. Again, the Bible says in the last days you'll see an increase in disease. And again, this is not to scare you. It's to inform you. But again, he does this individually to nations that turn away from him. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, and with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. And your heavens which are over your head shall be bronze, that is, there'll be no rain. And the earth which is under you shall be iron. That is, the earth will get real hard because of drought. The Lord will change the rain of, and by the way, this happened in Israel's history. I've been making application to America, but this is Israel's history. If you look back on their history, all this happened. God warned them, and it happened. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down on you until you're destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. Notice that's being reversed. You'll go out one way and they'll flee seven ways. Now you'll go out, they'll come one way and you'll flee seven. And you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. The Jews are still troublesome and Israel's still troublesome to the kingdoms of the earth today. Tiny's one of the tiniest nations on the planet. They're always in the news, right? Everybody's got some beef with the nation of Israel. Some of it, again, is their consequences. And again, some of it is now God, again, showing his favor and the enemy fighting against that. But he says, again, verse 25, your carcasses shall be food for the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. No one will frighten them away. That is, you won't even be able to bury your dead. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt and tumors in the scab, with the itch from which you cannot be healed. So there'll be new diseases you can't be healed from. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. And you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in the darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. You shall betroth the wife, but another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but shall not gather its grapes. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be violently taken away from before you, and it shall be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have no one to rescue them. In other words, all these things will happen right in front of your eyes, and there's nothing you can do about it. You ever sometimes feel helpless watching the news? Watching what's happening to our nation? Seeing the direction we're going as a nation and compared to the direction we used to realize, how do we reel this back in? I think some of the strong appeal that we've seen, even in the whole President Trump thing, wherever you stand politically is not the issue here, but because, again, we all know, look, there's a lot of things that leaders do in these positions that we can't agree with, and their attitudes and the way they do them. But I think the reason you saw so much of the country rallying behind President Trump is because he was someone doing something to stop the onslaught of the wrong direction. And so you're going to see more and more of that. It's almost this desperation of somebody do something, even if it's obnoxious. Do anything. Even if it's what, I don't care, just somebody stop this thing. And I think that's where a lot of Americans are in their heart right now. And a lot of that is because we see our nation slipping away from where it used to be, going into a whole new direction. And yet as believers, we understand this new direction it's going in, the Bible said it would go in. Now that doesn't excuse our nation from falling away, but the Bible said this would happen. Notice verse 35, the Lord said, or rather, the Lord will strike you in your knees and on your legs with severe boils, which cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. The Lord will bring you and the king whom you set over you to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. And someone's like, you want to serve these other gods so much? I'm going to turn you over to them for a while and let you see what that's like. It's amazing to me to see Americans turn away from our history in Jesus Christ and the Bible, and to go for these spiritism things, Hinduism and Buddhism, and even now standing up for Islam and all these things we're doing in some kind of righteous, supposedly righteous equality stand or whatever. If you see what's happening in the nations that honor these gods, it is devastating. Listen, the nations that honor Islam, they're not blessed. The nations that honor Buddha, they're not blessed. They're cursed. The nations that honor Hinduism and all these things, visit these nations. These are the nations we do mission trips to because they're so devastated. And there's a reason for that. God says if you honor these other gods, it brings devastation. If you honor me, I'll bring blessing. And so Scripture's clear on what the result of all this is and what the reason for all of it is. It's amazing to me how we can have our eyes so open to be so blessed of the Lord and turn away. If it bothers me, how this must bother the Lord. And you shall become an astonishment, a proverb and a byword among all the nations where the Lord will drive you. This happened to the Jews. I mean, again, all over the world where they've been driven and they're gone. The Jews have been picked on. They're still being picked on. Just a very, everything's the Jews' fault. Have you noticed? I mean, I was reading just today. I mean, where's this come from? Somebody, I guess, flew over Jacksonville, Florida, or else drove around it. I don't know if you see the article, you'll see what I'm talking about. And either threw out or dropped flyers talking about how bad the Jews in Israel were. Why? It's a spiritual battle. It's amazing to me, whenever something happens, it's Israel's fault. When Saddam Hussein started shooting Scud missiles at Israel, the world blamed Israel. When all the Katusha rockets come in from the Gaza and from the Lebanon, they blame Israel. Well, if Israel wouldn't do it, what are you talking about if Israel wasn't doing this? They're just defending themselves. But again, it's a spiritual battle, and so the world doesn't understand it, but we do. He says, but if you turn from me, this will happen to you. Verse 38, you shall carry much seed out to the field, but gather little in, for the locust will consume it. You will be blessed in your farming and your planting. You shall plant vineyards and tend them, but you shall neither drink the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for the olives shall drop off. You shall beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. Locusts shall consume all your trees and produce of your land. Look at this. This is interesting to me. The alien, that is the foreigner who is among you, shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. Do you see that process happening even in our nation? Listen, I love the immigrants coming in. It isn't about immigration. That's a wonderful thing. America should always be a place of refuge for everyone. We know that. It just should be done legally in the right way, quite obviously. But here's what the Lord says he'll do. He says, if a nation that honored me begins to turn away, then what I'll do is I'll take their immigrant population, I'll take their alien population, and I'll begin to make them more important even than the regular population. They'll start being looked at as they should have more rights. They should be treated better even than the normal population, even at the expense of the normal population. And right now, there are some things happening in America where those that are welcome guests in America are being treated better than Americans are. God said this will happen. To a nation that turns away from me, you'll begin to see the alien go higher and higher in position, and you'll see the people of that land get lower and lower because God says, I'm going to eventually, if you don't turn away from that, remove you from that land. That's what he did to Israel. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Again, notice here the juxtaposition. Notice here the turning of the tables here. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed. Why? Here's why. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Okay, that to do what? To keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you. Again, I don't mean to harp on this, but We take God, what, prayer out of the schools in 1962 as a governmental move. Then we take the Bible out of schools on June 17th, 1963, out of the schools. And then we wonder why there's all the rape and the drugs and the mass shootings and all these things. Why is that happening in our schools and other things? Because we ask God to leave. And then we have the audacity, when it happens, to stand up and say, oh God, have mercy on us. Now, don't get me wrong, we should cry out to God. But how hypocritical of it is it to God to say, we don't want you, we need you, we need you. We don't want you, we need you, we need you. Do you see the hypocrisy in that? It's almost like God would say, make up your mind. Do you want me or not? And if you want me, I'll raise you up above all the peoples on the face of the earth. America will be once again the greatest nation on the planet. And you don't have to be ashamed of it. And you don't have to apologize for it. It is my blessing from heaven. But if you don't, I'm going to bring you down. But any other nation in the world that does it, I'll raise them up. And so he's so clear in his word about it. He says, verse 46, make sure I didn't skip one. I didn't. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder and on your descendants forever. Why? Because you did not serve the Lord your God. Here it is, with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Guys, God wants us to realize all the blessings we have, they're from him. We should be thankful for that. We are so blessed in America, I think we forget that the blessings are from the Lord. What do we take for granted? We take our meals every day for granted, our home for granted, our cars for granted, good road systems. Have you ever done missions work? You ever traveled somewhere else? Go to Haiti with us one time. Travel, go to Africa, you know, with Nathaniel, who's visiting tonight, whatever. These different missionaries, you're going to see what the roads are like. You're going to see what their infrastructure is like. It's horrible. And again, but we just take it for granted. And it's gotten so bad in America that if somebody doesn't meet our needs, whether we're working or not, then America's at fault. I deserve this. Wait a minute. This is a blessing of the Lord. Every breath we have is a blessing of the Lord. The fact that we have the ability to get jobs is a blessing of the Lord. But with a wealthy nation, it's easy to lose that. God says, I want my people. I don't expect the world to be there. But my people, they should be thankful. They should realize what God has done. Listen, I think tonight would be good for us just to think all through your mind. I know right now everybody's probably got problems they're thinking about because we're people. You're worried about a meeting tomorrow. You're worried about that bill. You're worried about this. But I want you to take just a moment. If not right now, because then I'll lose you. And I may have lost you already, but I don't want to lose you right now. And just go through the list. God, look at, I've got a home and a car and a wife and kids and a cute dog. Snacks? But you're not all the snacks that my neighbors have. I've got snacks. We're not in war on our land. We have a government that's running Knoxville fairly well in the sense of our needs are met. We have water. Guys, we have so much to be thankful for. All of us in here tonight, I think, can walk. And even if someone's here in a wheelchair, then you're thankful that you're alive and you can use the wheelchair. What about places that don't have wheelchairs to get around? You know, again, we have so many blessings for everything, and yet oftentimes we complain rather than be thankful. Well, I've got a house, but my couch isn't as nice as theirs, or, you know, the view isn't as good, or, you know, I don't know, this car doesn't run as good. Do you have a car? You know, again, I don't want to get into that all. We need to think about the people that don't have anything, but there is something to that because we don't want to lose that sense of thankfulness. How blessed we are. I was talking with someone the other day. I was like, you know what? I grew up in a family of six, and this is the old poor growing up story. It wasn't that bad, but I mean, my dad made like $25,000 a year, and there were six of us. And of course, that was back in like 1975, 1976. That was a lot more money back then, but a whole lot more, but you can see that wasn't a huge salary, and he worked his way up over the years. So it wasn't like we had abundance overflowing, you know, of all we ever wanted growing up or whatever. And I look at what God has done for me now. If I want to go get a Coke, I can. If I want to buy an ice cream, I can do that. If I want to get Dunkin' Donuts or Krispy Kreme, or I want to go, I have the ability tonight just to go and do that. It's not going to sink me. I wasn't able to do that. I'm thankful to the Lord for what he's done. I appreciate what God has done. And I think it's almost an advantage coming from a place where you didn't have a lot of everything. I think it's easier to be thankful than it is when you had a lot of stuff. But we need to be thankful for what we have. He wants his people to be thankful. Don't take the Lord for granted. Don't take the fact that you're going to heaven for granted. He died for you. He went to the cross. He spilled his blood. He was beaten. He was mocked. He left heaven. He took on human form for you, for me. And then he said, not only that, I'm going to bless them. I'm not going to make them go through what I've been through. They don't have to suffer the way I've suffered. Yeah, we suffer down here, but not for the sins of the world. Anyway, the point is, we're blessed. And he says, I want my people to have a heart of joy and a heart of gladness of heart for the abundance of everything that I've done. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies. That is, if you're walking in these curses, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst, in nakedness, in need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. So very ominous for those that turn away. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as an eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand. He says, I'll have a foreign country take you over. A nation of fierce countenance, which does not respect the elderly, nor show favor to the young. And they shall eat the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land until you're destroyed. And they shall not leave you grain or new wine or oil or the increase of your cattle or the offspring of your flocks until they have destroyed you. Again, this is Israel's history. This happened to them. We can look back now. It's exactly what happened. They shall besiege you at all your gates until your high and fortified walls in which you trust come down throughout all your land. That would be the same as saying your military is not going to be successful, although you think it is. You're going to see it collapse. And they shall besiege you at your gates through all your land, which the Lord your God has given you. You shall eat the fruit of your own body, that is the flesh of your sons and your daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you in the siege and desperate straits, in which your enemies shall distress you. This happened in Israel's history. When their children died, see, what they would do is they would starve you out. They'd put a siege around your city and they'd starve you out. And you'd run out, you'd slowly run out of food, you'd slowly run out of water before they broke through the walls. And you begin to eat everything, all the animals. And then some, when people died, they'd resort to cannibalism. And some people ate their own children. Now, that's, how could anyone ever do that? It is amazing what humans can do when they're in desperate straits. And we need to be careful that we don't think more highly of ourselves than we ought. I'm not saying that everyone would do that. I don't believe that. But you'd be surprised how many would in a serious enough situation. And in Israel's history, they did that. That gets worse. How could it get worse? Read on. The sensitive and very refined man among you will be hostile toward his brother, toward his wife, the wife of his bosom, toward the rest of his children, whom he leaves behind. The dad, that's the loving dad who would do anything for his family. Some of those dads, he says, they're going to get so desperate, they're going to abandon their family. And they're going to be, it's every man for himself. He says, it's going to get that desperate that the good people, the good ones are going to do this, not the bad ones, right? So that he will not give any of them the flesh of his children, whom he will eat, because he has nothing left in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you at all your gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, whom would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground. It doesn't mean she wouldn't really walk. He's making a point. She's just so refined and so proper. Because of her delicateness and sensitivity, she will refuse the husband of her bosom and the son of her daughter, her placenta, which comes out from between her feet, and her children whom she bears. For she will eat them secretly for lack of everything in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemies shall distress you at all your gates. This can't get much more horrid. It's hard even to read it. And God is warning them, saying, now, look at the comparison back to the first 14 verses. If you'll just honor me and obey my word, I'm going to bless you beyond your wildest dreams, and we're going to laugh and run together. I'm going to chase you down and bless you with more stuff. You know, I can't take anything else more, Dad. I can't do it. No, here's some more. Stop it. No, here's more. But if you don't, it's going to get so bad, you're going to turn on your own families. He says, if you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sickness. Again, I want to make clear, I'm not saying this is about to happen to America. When I've made the comparison to Israel, it took years and years and years of Israel's rebellion before these kind of things start happening. My point is, any nation that does this, God takes them down the same path if they don't repent. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague, which is not written in this book of the law, which will the Lord your God bring upon you until you're destroyed. So he'll add more plagues. You'll have more than are even written here. You should be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven in multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And it shall be that just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing. And you shall be plucked from off the land which you go to possess. So God will give your land to someone. Look, God may have given America to us, but God can take America away. Even as he did with Israel. He gave Israel the land. He took it away from them. He said, it's my land, God said. And he says, the last days I'm going to give it to the Jews again after I discipline them and chastise them. And then I'll bring them back in the land, and then they won't leave again. That's where they are now. They're not going to leave again. Nobody's going to defeat Israel. They're going to be there until the Lord comes back. That's what his word says. But he took them out of the land. And any nation, again, that rebels against him and knows better, he will also begin to overtake them with new peoples coming in and remove them. And so, verse 64, then the Lord will scatter you among the peoples. Again, this Israel all over the world still today. From one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone. You know, there's nothing like, if things are good and then things are bad and you start remembering how it was when it was good, that's a great motivator to drive you back. You know, the prodigal son, he had it good at home. He had a wealthy father, lived on the farm, had all his needs met. He asked for his inheritance early. His dad gave him his inheritance. He runs off, he blows it all. And he realizes while he's eating what the pigs are eating, I had it really good. It was good at home. Mom and dad were good to me. Why did I have to, you know, what was my thing? I had to go do my own thing. I don't want to follow their path. I'm going to blaze my own. Why did I have to do that? And now I'm paying for it and suffering. I want to go home. And remember, he didn't even know if his dad would take him back. But this is what's so cool. What happened when his dad saw him? He ran to him. He didn't just walk to him. He ran to him and gave him the best of everything. That's our Father's heart. That's the Father in heaven. That's his heart for us. He says, "When you, I want you to see what it's like. You want to serve wood and stone? Go for it. You're going to be miserable, but it'll drive you home. And among those nations, you shall find no rest, nor shall the sole of your foot have a resting place. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul." Boy, this just describes the Jews throughout their history. It's amazing. "Your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night, and you have no assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, 'Oh, that it were evening,' and the evening you shall say, 'Oh, that it were morning,' because of the fear which terrifies your heart, because of the sight which your eyes see." In other words, at night you're like, "Oh, I'm just going to make it to the night. Let me get to the morning." And then the day comes. "Oh, I just can't stand this day. I got to get back to the night." But there's never rest in either one. It's this constant battle back and forth of this torture. "And the Lord will take you back to Egypt in ships, by the way of which I said to you, you shall never see this again." You'll go right back to the world. I'll put you back to the place you were before. How sad it is to see believers backslide, fall away from God. I've seen this over the years. People that were walking with God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and they just give in to the enemy. They go for it. And you see them down the road, and they're this crust of bread. You know, there's nothing left of them. Their life is ruined. And you're thinking, how did this happen? And it's a warning. It can happen to any of us if we turn away. It can happen so quickly. And he says, if that happens, you're going to go right back into the world and be sucked right back in. But the difference is this time you're going to be miserable, because before you knew the Lord in the world, you could still have a little bit of, you know, hey, the world's not so bad. Once you come to the Lord and there's that sense of God's holiness and conviction of spirit, you can't enjoy that anymore. Because you know that God is righteous. He says, and there you shall be offered for sale to your enemies. He says, you'll become slaves in foreign lands as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you. You won't even be worth purchasing. I'm not going to go on in chapter 20. I don't think I can finish 29. We're going to finish a little bit early tonight. But I'll finish early rather than go on and try to do that and take just a moment even just to pray for our nation, because it kind of turned into a thing about just where our nation is. I don't want to be doom and gloom and say there's no hope for America. I believe there's hope for America. I know for a fact we've not been removed yet. We've not been totally destroyed yet. God has not judged America yet. We've been chastised. God has, I think, pulled his spirit back and some of his blessing because we're rejecting him, which he said he'll do. But there's still a chance for America to repent. I want to pray for revival in America. for God to send a new, fresh outpouring of His Spirit, to see God revive us as a nation and do something new in this nation. And once again, bring us back to the place we were in. And you know, again, this is kind of a hard chapter to end on because you have the first part is so great. I think next time we do chapter 28, we're going to start in verse 15 and do all that. And then go back and read verses 1 through 14. But you know, sometimes we need a good shot of reality, don't we? This isn't a chastise to the church. You guys love the Lord. You're honoring Him. You're serving Him. And He's got people all over America. That's one of the things that makes me rejoice, because God's people are here and God's going to bless His people. So as long as God's people are spread all over America, I've got hope for America. But at the same time, what's going to happen when God yanks us out of here? What's going to happen? I never have liked Country Ham. That has nothing to do with anything. No, it does. Now, some of you love Country Ham, so you're already upset with me. I'm a Tennessee boy. I grew up in the South. I'm not an outsider coming in talking bad about our food. I just never liked it. Too salty for me. But it always amazed me. You could take a country ham, hang it in the barn, and it just stayed good. How does that happen? It's meat. You walk out there and cut a piece off and eat it and leave it out there. Wrap it up again. Why? It's infused with salt. Salt's a preservative. Salt keeps meat from rotting. Guess what you guys are? You're the salt of the earth. You're what makes the guy at work go, oops, sorry I said that cuss word. Didn't know you were in here, bro. You're the one that makes people go, oh, don't say that. So-and-so's here. Why are they doing that? They don't care about God. Why are they doing that? You're salt. You're a preservative. There's a lot of salt sprinkled around America right now. So in the midst of the bad news, the good news, there's a lot of salt sprinkled all over America right now. There's a lot of believers in every place, in our government, in different places, in our schools, in our just general life. There's salt. You're preserving, which is a wonderful thing. So we can rejoice in that while we pray for God to send revival. But when the Lord sounds the trumpet, and He yanks all that salt off this big country ham we call the earth, what do you think is going to happen? It's going to rot really fast. And it's going to get stinky really quick. That's exactly what the Bible says will happen. The Lord will remove His church. The world will join into a one-world government, a one-world religion. Things will really begin to stink to high heaven, quite literally. And it's going to get worse and worse the last 3.5 years of that final 7-year period where God says He's going to go and deal with the promises that He gave to the nation of Israel. There'll be other believers getting saved during that tribulation time, the Bible says. Multitudes will be coming to their senses. Probably some of your family and friends you've been sharing with, others that hear the gospel for the first time and realize God's grace and they get out. And then the Lord's going to come back at the end of it. See, I knew I could turn this around to good news. The Lord's going to come back in glory. He's going to establish His throne. All the oceans will spring to life again and be purified. All the rivers purified, sparkling. The deserts will spring to life, it says. The air will be purified and clean. And the Lord will sit on His throne in glory, and all of us that know Him will join Him and rule and reign with Him on this earth, the Bible says, for 1,000 years. A restored earth. Imagine that. Not an earth that's been cursed, but an earth that's now been restored. None of us know what that's like. All we see is a cursed earth. And when I walk out and look at the cursed earth, I mean, I'm not talking about the bad things that are happening, but when you just look at the earth and some of the amazing things, some of the national parks and amazing things around the world, this is cursed. What's it going to look like when Jesus comes back? Wow. Guys, we have a glorious future ahead. Tremendous. Just make sure that you are the salt of the earth. Not only those of you that know the Lord being a witness, but if any of you are here tonight and you don't know the Lord, you know, again, give your life to the Lord. Become salt. Become part of God's family. And even in the midst of all these tragedies that we see going on and what we know is coming on this planet, then we can rejoice. Why? Number one, no matter what happens, we know what our end is. And number two, we know before it gets really bad, we're going to be yanked out of here. And we want to take as many people with us as we can before that happens. But it's going to be a wonderful day when the Lord comes back. It's going to be a, again, none of us can even imagine what it's going to be like. You know, I talk about, yeah, the way America used to be and where we're going now. Think about what the earth used to be like before the fall. And so that's what we have to hope for. So I want to finish tonight and pray for God to send revival to this nation. Not because I don't want God to pour his spirit out around the globe. We'll pray for that as well. But this is our home, and we have an extra responsibility to pray for our own home as well as praying for the world. So I want to do that, and what a better time to do it when we see the warnings that God gives in his word for a nation that knows better and turns away. And that really not only described Israel, that describes America as well. But let's pray about it. Lord, I thank you for all the blessings that we have. We are truly a blessed nation above all peoples. Our nation is blessed beyond our wildest dreams. I look at other nations around the world and I see the hunger, the lack of clothing. And I know we have some of that in America. Lord, we have poverty in America, and I'm very aware of that. And Lord, our hearts break for that. We ask for your mercy on those that are enduring that. But when you compare it to the rest of the world, we are so blessed. Lord, I pray for this nation that you would, before it's too late, send revival. You'd send revival to your church. God, your word says that judgment begins at the house of God. God, send revival to your church. Let us check our hearts and make sure we're right with God first. And then, Lord, when you deal with us and we repent, I ask you begin to send a spirit of conviction on those around us who don't know you. God, many of them don't know any better. They know right and wrong, but they don't really know you. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to be light to them. Help us to be salt to them. Help us, God, to love them and to show them your love. And God, that you would, yes, send revival to your church, but God, once again, restore America, not just so that we can be blessed, but God, so that America can once again bless the world, that we can supply, Lord, the needs of the world, the gospel once again going out and the hope in Jesus Christ first and foremost, but then God, with the amazing resources and abundance that we have to send to the poor around the globe and within our own country to meet the needs. God, the needs are great, but you're greater. And I pray you would just do an amazing work in our nation. God, restore us and have mercy on us. God, thank you for warning us about the blessings and the cursings. And thank you for your salt that's scattered all over this nation. God, all the believers, what hope that gives me for our nation. And I pray, God, you would just give us as a nation ears to hear. And when we see these hard times happen, rather than just seeing it as fate or just luck or lack thereof, Lord, we would turn to you and cry out for your intervention. God, that you would come back and we would welcome you back in our schools, that we'd welcome you back in our government, that we'd welcome you back in our American life, and we would honor you once again as a nation, not just as a church, but as a nation, so that we could once again see your blessings flow on this nation. And again, we could be a blessing to others because of it and a witness for you. So, Father, I thank you for your word tonight. Just the richness and power of your word. And we give you all the glory. God, minister to your flock. Encourage us. Let us be a joyful people, a thankful people for what we have. And let us meditate, even tonight, on all you've done for us and to be thankful and joyful because of it, even in the midst of our difficulties. We are a blessed people. Thank you for being so good to us. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.